To say that the convention, when you study that part of law, was a runaway is ridiculous. That's why it took so long to ratify. It was a massive argument that went on during this entire time of voting and so on and so forth, plus all of these votes that had to be required to get this thing approved. There was definitely no runaway convention because it had no place to run to.
Well, and I think the concern is if there was a convention called now, Bill, that there would be a runaway. And I, you know, based on your description of the 1787 convention, I would think, at least logic to me would say, that it would follow, you know, somewhat the same process and that there would be no runaway, but an awful lot of scrutiny around what was going to be put forward to be voted on and what wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And you remember that, you know, people think, well, they were secretive. Well, they were secretive because they were constantly changing their minds and needed open discussion to be able to express themselves. You won't have that in this situation. There's a big difference. The last thing you need in an amendment convention, which is what we're discussing, is secrecy.
Right.
You want everybody to propose it because the basic fundamental fact is this. Let's just take the fact that it takes 2/3 of the states to vote out in a proposed amendment because of the same thing with Congress. Now, that is a very hard number to reach. Of the 11,000 proposals ever gone to Congress, 27 have made it through. That works out to like something like 0.00027%, something of 1%. It's infinitesimally small.
Right.
But that's only half the deal. After you get the 2/3, the opposition, which now is 1/3, they can afford to give you 25% of their support, and they'll still win because you now have to go from 2/3 to 3/4. You got to increase. Well, all they got to do is sit there. And if they don't want it, all they got to do is stay fast, and you're not going to get it. So you have got to improve. You have got to, if you want an amendment, you have got to constantly be going. So you're going to want the massive public support that you can get because it's the only way you're going to get the massive push in the ratification. Moreover, there's something a lot of people forget about this thing. Let's just say they say our convention was a runaway. Let's just say it works out and gives us the worst amendment proposal, and for some reason not known to anybody, it is ratified. Okay, fine. The Constitution has a 100% money-back guarantee. Anything that is proposed can be repealed.
Yep.
It's just that simple. So, in other words, even if you did have a runaway, you have the ability of Congress to come right back with its own amendment proposal
and repeal it
and have it repealed or something and modify it simultaneously. And if they don't like that, the states reapply. And in fact, they would have several conventions because of this vast volume of numbers. But the states then come back and they make their proposal and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. The point is that the idea of a convention being the final word in the way that our system works is simply ludicrous. People just don't understand. It will be the final word if everybody, basically 75 to 80% of the population and the leadership of this nation all agree it's going to be the final word.
Well,
and that's when it's going to be.
Yeah, and I would say it'd be interesting because I can just see the number one on the top of the hit parade, which would be the, you know, the repeal of the 16th Amendment. And I can just imagine the level of support nationally that would get. You know, particularly at this stage of the game, I think everybody would be voting to get rid of the income tax.
Right, and the point is the American people deserve to have that argument, plus the other 33 other issues that the states have brought up. There's another question about the same subject people don't think about. Okay, which state's going to decide what subject's going to be discussed? Are we going to have the state of Virginia say it's going to be balanced budget, or do we go over here to Idaho's application that asked for 11 different subjects to be one? Which state has the priority? Which state
runs the convention, right?
Well, no, runs the country, because
the country.
That state has to have more sovereignty to make that sovereign decision, saying that the rest of these states do not have a right to present their issues to a convention than anybody else. So it literally becomes which state is the most sovereign and the other subservient to it.
Well, that's an interesting question.
If you accept same subject, you have to accept the fact that one state
right.
is going to set what that subject's going to
set. It's going to set the agenda, right.
Right, it's going to set the agenda, and the rest of the states and the people within them are simply subservient. Just like, for example, Indiana says, they are setting up a situation where the state of Indiana voters and the people in that state have absolutely no say, and Levin supports this in his book. He supports Nadelson. Nadelson wrote the Alec report that all this is based on, where the voters are completely cut out of the process. They have nothing to say about their constitution. So in other words, you could have, if you follow the way these people think and propose, you could have it where the state legislatures get together, propose an amendment, and never even tell the American people it exists until it is quote unquote ratified and somebody announces it in the want ads of a paper.
Right.
And never, ever, ever even be known that it's being discussed or thought of. Now, the last time that a nation did this type of thing, it was in 1933 in Nazi Germany.
I was just going to say that there's a real ugly parallel to all
and
of
that's,
this.
That's exactly what, that is why we cannot allow for the American people not to have a part of the participation, because they are one of the big checks and balance of this system. Their right to alter or abolish is not just words. It is an integral part of the design. It allows them to select and determine what is going to be, what is not going to be. And yet they do it with representative government, but they still must be there, because without them, you would then devolve into simple paid off dictatorship, for lack of a better way to come with it.
Right.
A couple of people in the state legislature decide it. And, you know, pretty soon they say, well, what do we even need the amendment process for? We'll just rule by, you know, fiat.
Is there a status of your current lawsuit, Bill? Is it just sitting on a shelf someplace, or was there a resolution to it?
Well, the court denied cert. That ended the actual lawsuit.
Okay.
They actually denied cert, but they affirmed the lower court ruling, which affirmed the Coleman ruling, which was that Congress has exclusive control of the entire amendatory process, and that they can go into a state legislature, remove the state legislature, and put in new state legislatures to get a ratification vote that they desire. Now, that's in the Coleman ruling. I'm not making this up. This is what that ruling states. The political question doctrine is discussed, and this is what the court said in 1939 is approved. And that's exactly what they've ruled. But they also said that there was an advisory opinion. In other words, they sidestepped the whole thing by simply saying, well, we don't have any authority to tell Congress to do anything. Well, if that's true, then the situation of the lawsuit is this. The government said, well, they can do all this stuff, but they never exempted them from the one point I made that the Solicitor General agreed with, that it's a criminal violation of oath of office. In other words, they said they can do it, but they never said, well, if you do, there's federal criminal laws involved. So basically, the status of this suit is that it's over. It was completed several years ago, but that it caused a tremendous stir inside of Washington, D.C. I know that for a fact, because of the conclusions that the Solicitor General was forced to make. Even though this court didn't hear it, they were still forced to make these conclusions, and both as to setting the terms of what a convention, how you got a convention, which nobody in the United States history had ever done. Nobody had ever gone to a court and said, okay, what is the terms of a convention call? I mean, when is Congress obligated to call? And nobody had ever bothered to go to the court and say, or to Congress or somebody and say, okay, well, what's the terms? I did. And until somebody comes along that goes to court or something like that, we go with what they say there, which is based on court rulings that are already made by the Supreme Court.